This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 86, Inkjet Paper Review number 2. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 86th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, I'm continuing reviewing inkjet papers, and this is the second podcast that I'm devoting to inkjet papers, and the last for a while. We're going to move on to new topics and then maybe do some more paper reviews after this one, but this will be the last one for a while. And today I'm going to review three inkjet papers, as mentioned, and two of these papers are by a company called Museo. They make great papers. And then I'm also going to review a paper by Moab. All the papers that I'm reviewing, I'm recommending them all. And they're all very high quality, but there's going to be differences in the surface and of the color of the actual paper itself. And it's kind of up to your artistic taste. But all three of these papers are higher end papers. They're not cheap. They're not crazy expensive, but they're all recommended. Before we get into it, I would just like to thank Benny for his comment on our last podcast, number 85, where we reviewed two papers by Hahnemühle, Fine Art Breite and a German etching paper. Not too many comments on the papers, given that it's been a few weeks since our last podcast. Maybe paper is only doing it for me and not for others. But like I said, we're going to move on next podcast. So if you're not into paper, just stop now and post on the forum. There you go. All right, then let's just get right into today's podcast. But before we do, I want to mention again about the ICC profiles. And these are profiles that paper manufacturers make, which allow you to take that profile, which is actually a file, and just put it in a folder on your computer. And that way, whatever graphics program you use, when it's time to print, it locates that file and gives you a better result than if you are not using it. If you don't use an ICC profile, as I've mentioned the last podcast and bunches of podcasts ago, you're either going to have to calibrate or fiddle like the Dickens. The ICC profile is not as good as actually calibrating your monitor and your printer, but it's damn close. And for this podcast, I just use the ICC profile as it came from the manufacturer. Now, where are you going to put these profiles on your computer? Well, I'm going to put the link in the show notes, but if you're on a Mac, you just go to the Mac hard drive, you go to library, you go to color sync, and you go to profiles, and you drop the appropriate ICC profile in there. If you're on Windows and you're using something like Vista or probably Windows 7, you're going to C, Windows, System 32, Spools, Driver, Color. And that's where you drop in your ICC profile. You may be able to right-click on it and choose install the profile, but I just locate the folder and drop it in. You should know that if you're working in the graphics program, you're going to have to close that program and restart it if you've just dumped it in the folder in the middle of your program. And that's all you really need to do, and it makes a world of difference, so I highly recommend you do it. One other word of caution, because I am playing with a lot of papers now, is that you really have to be careful with the settings that you choose. So you're going to want to go to the website of the paper manufacturer and you're going to try and glean as much information as possible. Depending on what printer you're using, the choices you're going to make may vary. In particular, if your printer has like a matte black or photo black ink, you may have to choose between them. And the information on the paper manufacturer's website, which should be on the same page as the ICC profile, should let you know whether you're using like matte black ink or photo black ink, or if you're going to use, or what type of paper to choose from the default choices. Just so it's clear, when you're looking for that ICC profile, you'll find it. But in terms of what paper to print on, the paper manufacturer is going to give you choices that are likely similar to your paper. They may or may not be exact. So for instance, it might say, you know, ultra smooth photo paper or velvet fine art paper. These may be choices that you're going to choose from the default dialog box. And when you use that ICC profile, choosing that type of paper, it's going to be close. May not be exact, but it's going to be close. And like I said, I just did this with straight ICC profiles and I got very good results. So hope that makes sense and let's just get right into it. So the first paper I tested is a paper by Museo and it's called Museo Silver Rag. And this is a fabulous paper. It has a slight glossy finish. It's not super glossy, but it has a slight glossy finish and it's a 100% cotton paper. If I had to describe its color, I would say it's a very light cream color. and it has just a hint of texture on it. Very, very, very little texture. Its weight is 300 GSM, which is a heavyweight paper, and it feels great in your hands. This looks very much like a traditional print. I reviewed a Fine Art Baryta by Hanemuhle a few weeks back, and this is a similar paper to that. It's slightly lighter, but it's very, very similar. It has a slightly warmer color as opposed to the Fine Art Baryta, and I actually prefer the slightly warmer color. Which overall paper I prefer depends on the subject matter. They're so, so close. But I do like my papers to have a bit of a warm tone. Totally personal preference, and it may not suit your subject matter at all. If you're shooting landscapes in the winter, let's say, maybe a cooler paper might be more your style. It really is up to personal style once you're getting into these high-end papers. But for this particular paper, I actually printed a self-portrait that my wife and I did of myself maybe 8 or 9 months ago. I went through a crazy phase where we just did about 2 weeks of self-portraits with varying hairstyle lengths, just silly stuff. But I did like the results, and I decided to use a portrait as a test for this particular paper. And I should say that I really, really like the way it looks. The blacks are very, very rich. This looks like a pro paper. It looks very much like the papers I used to get out of the darkroom, and those are the papers that I gravitate to. You know, those old style papers that are heavy, that when you hold it up to the light, you can't see the watermark through it, you know, because it's thick. This is a thick heavyweight paper, and I really dig it, and I recommend it. Like I said, it has this slight warm tone, and that will work very, very well for people and portraits, and it's recommended. Okay, time to move on. And the second paper that I tested is also by Museo, and it's called Museo Portfolio Rag. And this is, again, a beautiful paper, but it's more of a matte paper. It has a cream color and, again, a hint of texture. It's a 100% cotton-based paper, very high-end. What I should say is that there is some optical brighteners in this paper. Now, what is an optical brightener? Especially in matte papers, paper manufacturers sometimes put in what are called these optical brighteners. And if you take the paper and you hold it to the light at a side, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. You can actually see, they kind of look like teeny diamonds or sparkles in the paper itself. Now, I didn't find this too distracting in the particular print that I did, but I did notice that they were there. When you look at the print straight on, I could not see the optical brighteners. But when you're, you know, fiddling with it at an angle to the light, you can. I gotta say, these things actually do bother me a touch. I really don't like this in my paper. I can totally live with it. I can barely see it. I can't see it when I'm looking at it straight on. But I like to handle prints. I like to handle raw prints. And I like to look for how the light reflects off the paper and things like that. So I did notice it. So there are some optical brighteners in there, though less than the next paper we're going to talk about as far as my eye goes. You know, I'm just basing this on how it looks to my eye. Certainly, if you do the research on the paper, you will find that indeed the manufacturer does introduce optical brighteners into the paper, but whether the effect is a distraction or not is up to your own personal eye. Like I said, when you look at it straight on, you can't see it. And for the particular print that I printed on this paper, I actually printed something that I shot again about 8-9 months ago. I shot a reflection at about, I think it was about a third of a second. So it's a very impressionistic looking print, actually. And it's a straight reflection from the water. There's almost no sharpness because of the 1/3 of a second exposure, but has a very impressionistic feel to it, the shot, and I really like it. It reproduced very, very well on this paper. Like I said, I could not really notice those optical brighteners unless I was looking for them. They are not distracting to my eye in this particular shot, and the color palette is wonderful, actually. So I actually scanned details of these prints, and unlike the last podcast, the papers that I'm using this time actually have very little texture. So it's actually a bit harder this time to see the effect on the paper. But like I said, these are recommended, and you really just got to go to the paper store, you know, go to a professional photo store where they sell different papers and look at the swatches. If they don't have swatches, don't buy it. Like, every good paper manufacturer should have swatches in the store. They just should. You may even be able to call the paper manufacturer and ask for sample prints. I know sometimes they do that. And that way you can get maybe a better feel of how that paper is going to, you know, feel in your hands, kind of thing. But like I said, it feels great in my hand, and I've held a lot of papers, and I would recommend this paper. It's a lovely, lovely paper. Just quickly, compared to the last matte paper I tested last podcast, where I tested a German etching paper, that had a very, very intense texture to it. This one does not. In my review last time, I said that I thought the texture worked better for landscapes or nature shots. And with this, because the texture is so minimal, this will work well for portraits or landscapes. And again, it comes recommended. And finally, the last paper I tested is from a company called Moab, and it's a paper called Entrada Rag Bright. It is also 300 GSM, a good heavyweight paper. The nice thing about this paper is you could print on either side. I don't know how useful that is, because normally you only print on one side, but you have the ability to print on both sides of this paper, and I guess sometimes that can be of use. This paper is white in color, and for this particular paper, I used the same image as the first shot, where it's a self-portrait of myself spilling some coffee on myself dressed like a Parisian. Anyway, the portrait came out really, really well as well on this paper. I should say that I can notice the optical brighteners in this paper a little more than the last paper that we used. And again, those optical brighteners, they kind of look like, you know, when you're looking at the road on a hot summer day and you kind of see little crystals in the road. You know, the road is mostly black, but you kind of see these little crystals. Anyway, that's what it looks like. And again, it's way more noticeable if you turn it to the light. When you are staring at it straight on, you can barely notice it. And again, at this level of the game, I recommend this paper, and it's really up to your own artistic vision. And I gotta say, I think the portrait overall works on this paper, and it does have a very, very interesting effect. So really, again, unfortunately, you just kind of got to try it for yourself and see which one works for your vision and your subject matter, and you'll be happy. But either way, I've now reviewed 5 papers. All 5 are recommended, and it's really just a matter of trying which one is right for you. And that's all I got to say about papers for a little while. New topics to follow. In terms of the assignments, we have 2 really cool assignments this month, and there's just a few days left, so feel free to sign up on the forum if you're just lurking. Anyway, the assignments are, we have 2 now. One is a regular assignment, and the other one is a little harder. The first assignment is minimalism, and a link to go in the show notes. You can see what has been put up thus far. Really, really, really cool photos. Gosh, our members are getting really, really creative all the time. They're getting more creative, and I see their growth, and I love it, and it makes me so happy. Really good quality submissions for that assignment. And we also have a level 2 assignment, one that is slightly harder, and this assignment is using side light to create texture. And the image should be in black and white. When you light something from the side, you reveal its texture. You just do. Side lighting is the lighting that will reveal more texture than any other type of lighting. And again, members have been putting up some really, really, really cool shots. Just remember that the shot also has to be in black and white, which adds, you know, another layer to it. But there's only a few days left, so if you want to get your assignment in, you can. And if you've done it once and you want to do it 2 or 3 times just to hone your skills, just to put it out there, there's no rules. Just upload the pictures you like. No worries at all. In terms of our forum, if you haven't been there for a while, we've upgraded it, so it kind of looks a little bit different. It functions pretty much the same. There are some small features that may be better in this version or maybe better in the last version, but ultimately, it functions pretty much the same. If by chance you're really unhappy with the way the forum looks, please send me an email, photography.ca@gmail.com, or share your thoughts with me about the forum if you like the new look and or the functionality. We are going to be changing the styling of the forum slightly, maybe the colors and things like that. But the functionality is what I'm really curious to know if people are into or not. And finally, our side project, which is publicphotography.org. Some photographers around the world have been hassled lately merely for taking photographs because some people think that they are doing illegal stuff, or their activities might be terrorist activities, etc., or suspicious activities, etc. Anyway, some photographers worldwide are getting hassled, and there's no reason why they should, because they're just practicing their art. So the second Sunday in September, which this year happens to be September 11th, people that want to participate will just go out in their own towns, in their cities, to take pictures in public, as we are allowed to do, and then you could post it to our group's Flickr stream, or you could post it to our Facebook group, just to say that we are indeed allowed to photograph our cities and towns, our buildings, and we're not doing anything wrong. So if you want to participate, you could follow the link in the show notes to publicphotography.org. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. It's still beautiful out there, and creativity abounds, especially at this time of year. So stay inside, go out, but keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.